Be the 10th caller, and you will win a spot to have breakfast with the roast breakfast provided by Jack's Restaurant. Again, George Kittle, 8:15 on the River Islands guest line, 8:15 for George Kittle. He'll join the morning roast at 8:15. We'll get into a lot with George Kittle here. So, Bosa, Floyd, this defensive line is going to have a lot of pressure on them because I think the back end is going to be very good. But what is it that Bosa needs to work on here? Well, what is it that we want to see from Nick Bosa? I want to see 15 sacks. I want to see more sacks fumbles, Shasky. I want to see more TFLs, tackles for loss.
Well, let's get specific. There was a few times where I didn't think that he set the edge in the run game, where he's come flying upfield. I don't know what his responsibility is on any given play. Like, that's one thing that I freely acknowledge. It just felt like they didn't set contain as a team all last year. And then simultaneously, it felt like his moves were very redundant. It was all power. And there wasn't a spin move. He did try it late in the season. I just like to see some more stunts. Like, and I know that is also on the defensive coordinator to call certain some of those things. He just felt very redundant compared to the other pass rushers that I see out there who've got a variety of moves.
Yeah, well, he's excellent against the run. So you got to do that first. I mean, he is excellent against the run, and he does play the game really hard. I do think he does too much speed to power. But he's a powerful guy. And so if you could keep collapse in the pocket, if he got a little bit more help from Eric or from the other side last year, he could, in theory, like kind of push some guys to his way where he'd get more numbers. But I do think the spin, I think you're going to see some spin this year. I think you're going to see him standing up. I think you might even see him ghost a little bit because he does have great balance to dip underneath some guys. So I think you're just going to see a change just watching him train this offseason. Like, he can't be in any better shape. Yeah. He can't train any harder than what he does. Him and his brother every day with their own trainer. Literally, they live with him. And so, everything from the nutrition to the whole thing. Like, I think he's physically and mentally ready for the season.
Like, all these pass rushers are very different. It's like being a scorer in basketball, or there's different. Sometimes they're gap hitters. Some guys are power hitters. I look at these defensive ends, and like, I think of someone more outside linebacker, but Von Miller, he's a bendy guy. At least he was in his prime, where he'd bend around that corner and get real low. That's not necessarily going to be Bosa's strength.
No, I mean, just look the way he's built.
Yes.
They're just built different. You know, I mean, he's built like a, you know, just a brick house, you know? I mean, he's just very, very... he's tighter than, like, say, Max Crosby is.
Right.
So, but it's okay. Like, they're all built differently. I play with Reggie White. He's the best of all time. Like, and Bruce Smith was just different. Wow. Like, these guys are just different, you know? They're built different, and so they rush differently.
You play with Reggie White. He's one of my all-time favorite football players. Going to Green Bay, and I didn't know, watching his 30 for 30, that the Niners were in play for Reggie Jack.
Was he?
Reggie White. I mean, everybody was wanting to die.
He was going wherever God was telling him to go.
Exactly.
God told him to go to Wisconsin, right? Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, Chicago. I mean, Reggie White, the minister of defense, man, he was awesome. That old defensive line. But Baldy, who's a guy, because we've been having some fun this week, what's a take that you wish you could take back? A take. Maybe it's a bad evaluation. Maybe it's like you missed on something. What's a bad take that you've had? Because we've all had them before.
Yeah. No, somebody just hit me up on one the other day. And, like I said, who was it?
It was about Tom Sula. I saw your response.
Oh, it was Tom Sula.
Somebody said, oh, well, this guy, because you put out a whole video. Okay. I was looking at your response. Brilliant. The guy tried to cuss you because you supported Tom Sula.
Yeah. Well, I was a big fan of Jimmy Tom Sula, okay? So I met Jim when he was coaching the London Monarchs, okay, defensive line, and I was over there doing NFL Europe games. Mm-hmm. And I was asking everybody, like, where can I go watch some film to, like, see? I didn't know who any of these guys were.
Right.
You know, so they said, oh, well, they practiced this place called Crystal Palace. So it was, like, south part of London. You had to take a train to get there. It wasn't easy to get there. So I go down to this facility where the London Monarchs are training, and they're like, okay, that's, you know, the film room is there. So there's this dark, dank room, and I hear this, like I hear somebody spitting into a spittoon. It's Tom Sula.
He's got a dip,
and he's spitting. So I introduce myself to him, and we became best friends. All right, so like I saw this guy, and he was a great defensive line coach. Mm. You know, he really was. And so he came to the league, and he coaches defensive lines in the league, and he was really good. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, with Harbaugh, like they had Justin, you know, Smith and the whole group. Alden Smith, like he was that coach. And so We always stayed friends. Anyways, when he got elevated after, I guess, Chip left, right? Got fired. So he got the job. And it was just the organization was just messed up. And so when he first got the job, I thought, this is going to be a guy that can actually communicate to everybody on the team. Like, he just has that ability to talk to everybody, motivate everybody. Look, it was a disaster. But I don't know that the organization around him was very good either at that time.
It wasn't. So when we talk about bad takes. And I love that league, by the way. The Rain Fire was my favorite team just because of the logo. Yeah. Watch that league all the time. NFL Europe.
Andrew Luck's dad.
Yeah. Shasky and I has a bad take, and I want you to listen to this.
Okay,
I want you to laugh a little.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness, Bonte.
Ooh,
where do you want to begin?
I mean, we got to begin with the quarterback position, and Debbie, she knows.
Big 957 The Game
You're
listener.
You're going to know what time it is. Subscribe to YouTube. Subscribe to Twitch.
Click it.
957 The Game, mm-hmm. Joe Shasky the Butcher, Bonte Hill, and what we just saw at the quarterback position.
Oh, my God.
Let me just say this, Shasky. I'll start it off like this. I will be shocked if Trey Lance is a starting at quarterback in week number one.
I'm going to be real with you. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks play for the 49ers. Undeniable talent, but it's not just the physical tools.
No.
It's the little subtleties of how he played the position, yeah. The dropbacks, the ability to move in the pocket mm-hmm. when there was a little pressure on the left or right side, and then he throws the ball on time, on the money, in the belly button, letting his receiver turn upfield and make plays.
Let me ask you about the presence.
Oh my God.
The presence, when he steps in the huddle,
bro.
There's a different swagger to this offense. And I know it's just shirts and skin.
Yeah.
They're wearing shorts. There's no pads right now.
Great.
And it's only, what, day three, day four? But the zip out of his hands, the way he can run and eat up yards and gobble up yards, it just looks different. And poor Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm going to say poor because he's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of cake.
Bro.
He's got the J's. But with Jimmy Shasky, he's throwing balls behind guys.
It was bad.
Wobbly.
It was bad today for Jimmy.
He threw a pick six to Fred Warner. He threw another deep shot.
Didn't he just look tentative?
He just looks shook.
And he's holding the ball forever. He doesn't have the ability. Look, how about the yardage that's hidden for Trey Lance to just run?
Run. RPOs and the effectiveness of the RPOs. When he gets on the edge, he can stop on a dime and throw it. The ball's outside. Even when he throws it outside the numbers, he gives his wide receivers a chance to turn and run. Big takeaway is Trey Lance
is ridiculous.
Phenomenal.
No, he's ridiculous.
Also,
for a guy coming out of Division II, he looks like he's played in the league for 5 years. I'm not even kidding.
He looks great.
So bad.
Also, the defensive line.
We got Nate
Tinsley, Ken Law,
strongest part of the team
today.
Yeah.
And they look good. Arden Key flash as well.
Oh, my God. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit up the 957.
Oh, it's so bad.
So, is there any superlative you didn't put in that? Did anyone get left out?
No, yeah, nothing got left out.
The garbage can emoji because of how bad that aged.
Oh, man.
Well,
I honestly, like, I just never understood the fascination. Because, you know, like, obviously the pandemic was a pandemic. He played one game in that year, and he was awful in that game. So then you go back to the year before, and, you know, like, I don't know, like, playing against Northern Iowa, like, there's no players in that. I just didn't really understand the fascination and how they were projecting him. I just didn't get it. You know, and so, like, but Mac Jones was in play and all these different guys. So, you know, and then there was a split, you know, between the guys that were there, you know, and so you just didn't know, like, all the stuff that was happening. Like, I thought Mac Jones was coming to San Francisco. I really did. I knew his people in Philadelphia, and I know Kyle liked him, but regardless, I mean, I don't know if either one would have been better than what they found.
The best part about that, we go to our car at a parking lot. And we see two kids with their mom.
Ugh.
They have some Jimmy G jerseys on. Shasky goes, you may want to go get a number five, right? And so the mom's like, oh, that's funny. Oh, Trey Lance, okay, cool. Literally, as we're about to pull out, the mom and the two kids are walking back into the 49er team. So she goes, I got to get these Trey Lance jerseys for the kids. So poor mom had to spend an extra $100 at the team store.
Okay, there's the Trey Lance element, which I still don't understand. They got so lucky with the Purdy thing. I mean, they did. Like, they can admit that they you have to get lucky at times in when it comes to player development and whatnot. The Jimmy Garoppolo thing is the most interesting to me. I do believe at one point in time he was a really good player, and something happened. I'm watching Russell Wilson play for Pittsburgh right now, and I know he always had a frenetic style and he'd bail on plays, and I understand all that, but he's a shell of what he used to be.
I think so.
What happens to guys in those situations?
I think, first of all, the injuries do compound themselves. You are not the same body that you were. I remember seeing Jimmy as a rookie, and I was up in New England. They were scrimmaging the Eagles, and I remember him, like, the release actually was kind of ironic because he went to the same school as Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. So his release reminded me of Tony Romo. And just a snap release, like how quickly that thing happened. And I thought, this guy's got a chance. Anyway, I think he was a second-round pick, and I think Romo was a free agent, undrafted or whatever. But I thought they had similar styles. And then, like, as time went on, like, man, when he had to get to that second read and the pocket was collapsing, you didn't know where the ball was going. Like, the release didn't look good after a while, after the hits and the injuries. And I think Russell has taken a lot of hits and a lot of injuries. And I think some of that sort of compounds itself. And then I think there's, I don't know, just something about Russell that just doesn't permeate to a whole team. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to the guys up in Seattle that were there. Like, the defense was the best defense in the league for four straight years in a row. And they had beast mode. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe it wasn't all Russell and his magic.
I'm kind of blown away that Shanahan's gotten crushed for each of the Super Bowls. And yet, the Pete Carroll not handing the ball to Marshawn, I feel like maybe I'm in the Niner bubble, and all I hear is the Kyle Shanahan stuff. Kyle Shanahan gets ripped more for the Atlanta loss as an offensive coordinator than Pete Carroll does for not handing the ball to Marshawn at the one.
Well, unless you're a Seattle Seahawk and you're on that team. Like, those guys kill Pete. You know, the guys on the team kill him, you know, for not handing it off. I mean, but even, like, that whole scenario, like, and Belichick's
not calling timeout.
Like, the whole thing, like, I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm like, what are you, nuts? Like, this is Belichick. What is he doing? And he put that defense out there on the field, and, like, he'd prep for it. And it was unbelievable how he foreshadowed that particular scene in that situation.
They practiced that play all week long, and Malcolm Butler was getting beat all the time. Yeah. Getting beat on the play every time
they
practiced.
They had a special defense just for that goal line offensive play.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch, we had his agent on, Doug Hendrickson, on a couple weeks ago, and I think they're going to talk about it, or they did talk about it on their podcast, Politicking. And he was like, oh, we're going to get into that. And best believe Marshawn was not happy about it.
Oh, of course.
And Marshawn has never publicly said anything about the play. But you can just tell he's one of the best goal line backs I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And for 1 yard?
You literally, if they win that Super Bowl, and they're back-to-back Super Bowls now, like, they're the beginning of what Kansas City is right now. Then you're talking about a three-peat after that. And their defense was, for four straight years in a row, and it's the only team in history, they gave up the fewest points in the league.
Wow.
For the modern NFL, I mean, a lot of people talk about, I think the Bucs team would have fit the modern NFL by the way they were set up. The Ravens of 02, I don't know if they could do the modern NFL with where everyone spreads you out and you don't see a lot of fullbacks.
Yeah, but I mean, they might have done it that year if Jamal Lewis didn't get hurt. Like, okay. He got hurt in training camp and they lost their bell cow. And so that was the beginning of the collapse of that franchise.
But I look at the way that the Legion of Boom was set up.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost a perfect defense in the modern era because of those two big corners. I mean, Brandon Browner was sweet.
Yeah, the safeties. You know, Cam.
Yeah, Cam was a beast.
You know what, though? Those corners in Baltimore weren't no slouches. Was it Patrick Sertan? No, not Patrick
Sertan. Chris McCallister next year.
Dwayne Starks.
Yeah,
Dwayne Starks. McCallister was drafted even next year.
He was on the championship team.
Was he on the
team? Yeah, he was on the Super Bowl team.
Both those guys were the 10th pick in the draft, those two corners.
Yep.
Like, they were drafted high.
Yep, Chris McCallister out of Arizona.
Who was the safety that went to the Texans? Sharper? Or was that the linebacker?
Well, they had Rob Woodson at one of the safeties. Forget who the free safety was on that team, but they had Sharp. They had a squad, too. I think that defense would have aged well in today's game. The physicality with the defensive line, the defensive front, they were sick. Sam Adams and Saragusa pushing the
Sam
pocket.
Sam Adams was a monster everywhere he went.
Saragusa sitting on Rich Gannon. Please.
Oh, here he is.
It was a belly flop.
Miss me with that.
Hey, man, that's football. Man. That's called football.
You got to tackle Sharp, dog.
By the way, now's the time to qualify. Call this number right now. Caller number 10, 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.